Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Your Slip is Showing. I live or have lived for years with a wife and three girls, and so there are certain things in my house that you just kind of do. Now, there are some situations where it's a little awkward, maybe at the office, and maybe you've been here on a slip. If I'm in a mall, if I'm in somebody's business, if I see a woman, it usually goes something like this. If she's literally, you know, and it's not some fashion statement, her slip is showing, I will go up and I say, ma'am, you know, I'm not trying to embarrass myself or you. I got a wife, I got three girls. You know, you need to pull it up. You know, whatever I say it to her. No, I usually don't say that. You know, just a heads up, your slip is showing, right? Okay, it is better for me to say that to her than her to go around her whole day and no one bother to say anything. Now, you would think. Now, someone can get upset. I don't worry about that. You just say it. Now, there are other things other than this. You know, whether you use the old XYZ or kind of a walk-by, dude, you know, your zipper's down. With guys, that stuff is a little easier. If a man works in an office, it's all women, and the man is going to make a complete fool of himself for the next few hours or all day. This stuff can be really tricky. If it's your boss, you know, it's just weird stuff. Spinach in your teeth. All right, so obviously these things can be a little awkward. What if it's your slip that's showing, but it's really not an undergarment? It's you. It's me. Now, a lot of times in this church, and a lot of the messages, and we'll probably include this a little bit, but a lot of times it swings so far to the drug addicts and people addicted to, you know, alcoholic. You know, we try to swing over there and grab everybody and say, here, you know, we're trying to help everybody. But what if you're really doing a pretty good job and you're on the right track? You've been sober for 20 years. You've been clean. You've been, you know, you're doing what you know to do, but you're just a little bit off. Now, there's a difference in someone who is a busybody. And I grew up around these people that just always up in people's stuff, you know, just meddling, basically. Gossiping, meddling. Oh, you shouldn't be doing that. Judging, kind of just all over you. We'll address that in just a minute. I'm talking about people who are genuinely trying to do the right thing, and they get just a little bit off. And there are people who say, which I really don't think this is possible to say, we say, well, you know, I walk with God, I have a relationship with God, but I don't go to church. I'm not involved in a local congregation. I don't really mean that. Now, listen really closely, and this is to anyone in this room or beyond. If you are really as mature as you think you are going to be connected to a local church. There's no exception. You say, well, I've figured out another way. You're not going to figure out another way because he didn't leave a backup bride down here. He left the church. You say, well, but it's got problems and I don't. Well, there's your problem. So sometimes the slip is on the part of the person who says, well, I read my Bible every day. I pray. I have this extraordinary life and relationship with God, but you don't know any other believers. No one can get close enough to you. There's no accountability. There's no relationship where someone could even come up alongside you and say, hey, dude, your slip is showing. You're slipping and it's showing. You're off track. This isn't appropriate. Now, I am a fairly... if it gets right down to it, I am probably a little defensive. Unless it's the right person. If you just came up to me and busted me in the nose with something, I might recover and be, you know what, you're right. But initially, for whatever reason, I have to know you. I have to know you love me. I have to feel very safe. We're all this way. So a random person may or may not work. the reason these relationships and connections are so important, and the same reason we don't like them, is that if I go to some small group, if I let someone disciple me, they are gonna get up inside of my life, and then they're gonna know who I really am, who I'm not, what I really do, what I really don't do. You know, it gets too close, so we kind of stiff arm people and say, no, you're not gonna get close because I don't want you noticing or pointing things out in my life that I'm aware of, but I don't really wanna deal with. So this is scary for people to even do church, and you kind of ease in, and then somebody pops off and says something maybe they shouldn't have, well-meaning. You got to be tougher than that and keep trying and keep moving, because one day you're going to need this. And there are people out there listening alone someplace who don't have this. Now, they are terrified to come to this. Part of the reason is to go to any church is maybe they had a horrible experience with this. And someone embarrassed them or made a fool of them or shamed them or judged them overly. So, you know, it got crazy. And they said, you know what? I'm out. I'm never going back again. Don't give up on what Jesus left in place. It does work when it works, and it's worth trying. Now, let's turn to a few verses here. And I usually try to go from left to right. So let's start in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 3. And there's tons of verses in the Bible that kind of give you the same idea, because it's kind of what the Bible's about. But I'm going to give you this example here. Jeremiah chapter 3, if you'll go there. And by the way, if you look up the word slip, it has tons of definitions. But in this context, a sudden losing of one's foothold as on slippery ground, a mistake in judgment, a blunder. Or it could also mean an error in conduct, indiscretion. So it doesn't mean it characterizes your whole life. It's just a slip. And it can have horrible consequences. You know, get on some ice, you can be walking fine, and bam, you slip one time, you can bust it. So that's what slip's about. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 12. He says here, go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return backsliding Israel, says the Lord. I will not cause my anger to fall on you, for I am merciful, says the Lord. So he puts the message out. Look, return, come back. You've backslidden, you've slipped, you've fallen, you know, you've done the wrong thing, but I will not cause my anger to fall on you. I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not remain angry forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God and have scattered your charms to alien deities under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. So you say, well, what does that mean? You went AWOL. You ditched. You just said, well, I'm going to do what I want to do, and you're gone. You know, it really doesn't take that long before you pull that stunt that you realize, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. And then your pride kicks in and says, well, I can't admit that I screwed up because I got to prove this is the right way. You don't have to prove you screwed up. Everybody knows it already. Just say, okay, I'm wrong, and let's get back in the game. Now, that's pretty straightforward. Here's your situation. You've backslidden. I'm not going to be angry long. I'm merciful. Confess your sin, acknowledge your iniquity, you've transgressed against the Lord, you know, it'll all be good. Come back, let's get this back together. Some people can't get there alone. It takes somebody else coming alongside, someone caring enough not to just let you make a complete fool or me make a complete fool of myself indefinitely and bothers to risk saying something. Go to Proverbs 28:13, another one along these lines. And this one, by the way, is a great one to memorize, to keep in your head. You're going to need this sooner or later. Proverbs 28:13. Very simple stuff. He says, he who covers his sins will not prosper. I had a preacher in a church years ago who used to put it this way. Whatever you cover, now listen close, because you say, yeah, you may not believe this, you will believe this. Whatever you cover, God will uncover. Whatever you uncover, God will cover. You say, well, I got this little sin. Nobody knows about it. And I'm going to hide it. And I'm going to cover this up. You will not keep your sin covered up. God has his ways and is merciful enough to discover that sin in your behalf so that you can deal with it. So go ahead and uncover it. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. So confess it. And you say, well, I've been confessing it. It's one thing to admit you've done something. It's another thing to forsake it, which means to walk away from it and say, I don't want anything to do with this. At some point, you are going to get sin sick. And you may not believe this is going to happen either, but let me tell you something. You will get sick of your sin if you live long enough. It will make you almost physically sick. You'll get so tired of what you've become addicted to or connected to, you'll just like, God, have mercy. And then it's a massive struggle because it gets hard to get out. When you confess something and you hate it, you say, look, God, you understand, I'm not just saying I did this again. I want to walk away from this. I want to forsake it. You say, well, I've tried all that. Nothing changes. Then get some help. Go to Romans chapter 2. So let's get into this a little bit. Romans chapter 2, and let's jump in here at verse 1. Now, I want to deal here, first of all, at least in this passage, with the people who think, well, I've got it all figured out, the waggers. They go around, you people. Or short of that, you know, old school was, you know, they'd be shaking their Bible at you, almost hitting you with the thing. And here's something very simple to learn, and this is their slip. Okay, look at these verses. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, you are inexcusable. You are without excuse then, O man, whoever this is he's addressing, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you really condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. So if you want to know, if you meet someone that's really judgmental and you want to kind of get a better understanding of what they struggle with, notice what they're really harshly judge on. If they've got an issue in an area, they're going to go at people really hard. So if you've got a bad attitude and they're going to tell you all about that, there's a good chance they got a bad attitude. They're going to highlight your problem because that really is their problem. Okay, so people say, well, how did you know that guy was struggling with that? It's just kind of no-brainer biblical stuff. You don't have to be that smart. Now, I'm not, you know, judging that that's really his deal, and oh my gosh, now I know what your deal is. The intent in all of this is to help people, not to judge someone and put them down. Even if you do know what's wrong with the person, then you say, okay, God, wow, that was pretty obvious. This guy's dying. She's hurting. Something's going on here. Show me how I can approach gently, kind of the speck in the eye thing. You don't hypocritically go to them, but you get the beam out of your eye so that you can see more clearly to go in there and say, look, I want to help you. And they understand that when you're going in and say, okay, I'll let you help me. So you say, okay, God, use me. Then how does he use me? Sometimes it's with someone that you know. Sometimes it was someone he just prompts you. And you're like, wow, this is going to be crazy. Kind of like your slip is showing. Like, this could be embarrassing. It's better to embarrass someone than for them to lose their lives over something that could destroy them. So back to this Romans chapter 2. You're inexcusable, whoever you are, who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Here's what I didn't know for so long. God is not trying to crush me. He's trying to help me. And he sends people into my life. He sends scripture, songs, people. He sends all these things. Hey, look, I'm on your side. If I was out to destroy you, I could have done that a long time ago. He's got resources. He's got skills. He can squash you like a bug and it's over. So he hasn't done that. So he's working with you. And it literally says here, it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. So if all you're doing is sinning, confessing, sinning, confessing, sinning, confessing, which I have mastered for years, and you won't walk away from something, then you say, well, why does God put up with that? Because he is merciful. And he's hoping that someday you're going to wake up and go, God, I am sick of this. I'd like to forsake it. I can't forsake it, so I'm going to get some help. And I get some help. Now I'm in a community. Now I've got people who can help redirect me, steer me, and say, dude, you're off. You're slipping. You're missing the mark. Aim a little that way. Not change everything, but be aware that this is going to go a bad way. Galatians chapter 6. Go over there a minute. Galatians chapter 6. And let's jump in at verse 1. Okay, now this is more along the lines of telling somebody your slip is showing. brethren. You say, well, I don't know what the Bible means, and I don't get it. Well, here's something you can get. If it says something like brothers or brethren, it's addressed to people who are followers of Christ. They are Christians, not people who are atheists or don't have any relationship with God. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You think, well, I'm all that. You are in trouble. The days I wake up and go, I got this, I'm on, I figured it out, there's no more challenge with that, I'm good. You got to wake up every day and go, Lord, I know what I have been capable of in Christ. Everything is new, I get that. But God, I know where I've gone before. I cannot do today without you. You've got to help me and help me pay attention. Even if I think this issue's gone, the enemy could wait and pounce on you when you're all strong. I'm not saying don't be strong, but don't be cocky strong. Anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught in the word share in all things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Whatever you are sticking in the ground is what's going to come out of the ground. You say, well, why is all this crap happening in my life? Because you've been sticking crap in the ground. That's what you're sowing. That's what you're going to get back. If you don't like your crop, plant something new, something different. But don't be deceived. You're not mocking God. You are going to reap whatever you are sowing. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's go down here to verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And then he covers some stuff. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So a Christian can literally be a prisoner of war. So what have you got to be as a servant of the Lord? Verse 24, not argumentative, not quarreling, but gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. So you come along and you say something. Now, part of being a grown-up and being a man, a woman, a mature Christian is first of all, now please get the sequence right. It refers to you who are spiritual. If your attitude sucks, don't go sticking your nose in somebody else's face. You say, well, you said to say something. I'm saying make sure you're firing on all cylinders between you and God and that the Holy Spirit prompts you and gives you wisdom to say what you're saying, or you're going to make a complete fool of yourself even more than you feel like you've made a fool of yourself. There's a lot of Christian onlooker traffic, and we gawk and look and, oh my gosh, that guy, he may not make it. Okay, then pull over and help him. Well, I bet they were drinking. That's why they're in that accident. Maybe not. Find out. If you get prompted, you say, well, I'm too busy. You can never be too busy for what God's trying to do in and through you. You got to step it up. But you got to step it up between you and God and get healthy so you're in a position to help someone. Again, verse 24, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, in other words, a change of heart, change of mind, so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive of him to do his will, not God's will. If you don't figure this out, you think, well, I'm doing what I want to do. That's not true. At some point, you end up doing what the devil wants you to do, not even what you want to do. All right, one more at least. James chapter 5. Go over to James chapter 5. I am not talking about going around every day pointing out people's problems and judging them. I'm talking about getting healthy so that when you're in a position and it's appropriate, the Holy Spirit prompts you, you have the courage and the gentleness to say what needs to be said. And the person, you know, if you say to a woman, for instance, back to the, your slip is showing. You say, ma'am, don't want to, you know, your slip is showing. Well, young man, that is none of your business. You should never say anything. Whoa, 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 lady, I'm just trying to help. You know, you can walk away and she could just say, well, I am not changing that, right? And then she just stomps around all day and pulls it down a little farther. And you know, my slip is really showing now. What do you know? Okay, if that's your attitude, I'm out. Please step away from the showing slip. I mean, this lady's nuts. So if someone can't take it and doesn't get it, that's not on you, but you have to be willing to do what God has called you to do and prompted you to do in behalf of the person. You can't control their reaction or their response. And you say, well, if I said that, I might lose that person. You're probably going to lose them anyway. And you may not have them, you just think you do. James chapter 5. Let's jump down. Gosh, there's a bunch of verses here, but jump down to verse 16. And I've already alluded to this. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So clearly someone can pray, and extraordinary, miraculous things happen. Then verse 19, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Why do you think it includes death? Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You say, well, but I'm not under that. This is another miscalculation. Your sin can literally kill you. You say, well, I'm going to go to heaven. It's not about getting there as fast as you can if God has a job for you to do here. Stop trying to get out of here by doing stupid things. So you save a soul literally from death and cover a multitude of sins. There is something about sitting down with someone and you say, dude, your slip is showing. And they go, wow, you know what? I'm so tired. You're right. I wonder why nobody's noticed this. I can't do this by myself. Will you help me? Absolutely. Let's pray about it. You know, and he confesses what's going on and it's out. And you go, okay, now what do we do? And you move on. And all that sin gets covered and he starts to live or she gets on with her life. And it's the most encouraging thing you can imagine. And the thing is, as a Christian, you get to be a part of that if you let God live in you and through you in such a way that you can be a part of that.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
And then this one I use a lot through the years, but 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, 9, and 10. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, on the other hand, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We start in Jeremiah. God says, I'm merciful, I'm patient. Just confess your iniquity. Just admit it. You say, I can't do that. Then he sends somebody along and they say, what? You're slip showing. You're getting off track. And if even then they bow up, at some point God himself brings the consequence. You do reap what you sow. But he sends so many stages along the way, some encouragement, some help, some challenge. And we are a part of that process. deal with your issue so you can be there to help someone else deal with theirs. Now, I said earlier, I get a little defensive maybe, but how blessed am I and fortunate am I to have people in my life that if I am off base will come up and say, you know, I don't care what I'm doing this. I could bow up, I could get proud and stupid, but at some point I'm probably gonna come around and go back to that person and say, thank you so much for saying something. Because I'm sure that was a little scary and awkward and embarrassing for me and maybe for you, but I thank you that you care enough about me to say something.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.